podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
You see, when it came time to announce the birth of His Son, when it came time to announce the arrival of the Messiah in this world, when it came time for God to come Himself in the flesh that night, the messenger angels who were sent from heaven did not go to the capital city of Rome. They did not go to a palace anywhere. They did not go to the temple in Jerusalem. They didn't go to anyone of great importance, but instead they showed up at a pasture outside of Bethlehem. Surely when you see something like that, the Lord is up to something. The Lord is doing something new, something different, something out of the ordinary. And I believe it's fitting that the angels announced Christ's birth to shepherds, because shepherds are the type of people that Jesus came to save. Shepherds, you might say, are Jesus' target audience, people just like them. Jesus Himself said that He came for the lost sheep of Israel. He came for those who know they are lost, not those that think that they're found. He came for those who recognize that they are sick and they need a physician, not those who think that they are already well. He came for those who are poor and oppressed, not those who have it all and have no need for anything. In fact, it was the people who were religious and rich and wise that Jesus butted heads with during His time here in this world, because they have too many barriers, too many walls up. They have everything that they need. But shepherds are different. Shepherds characterize for us the type of people that Jesus came to save. And maybe you're like one of those shepherds today. So let's start with verse 8 of chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says there were shepherds living out in the fields. Living out in the fields. These were working class, average people. You might say that they are, number one, grassroots. They went about their business wherever it took them. They had to earn a living, and sometimes that means living out in the fields with the sheep overnight. And shepherds weren't upper crust. Shepherds weren't even middle class. But they worked hard to provide a life for themselves and for their families, and they paid their taxes, and they sometimes had to sleep against a tree. And sometimes they would huddle around a fire and they would keep their eyes open for predators and stayed awake all night. They were working people. They were Walmart shoppers. They drove pickups. They listened to country music. What else do you listen to out in the pastures, right? These were heartland people, shepherds in Bethlehem. They were grassroots. Verse 8 also tells us not only were they living out in the fields, but they were keeping watch over their flocks. They were keeping watch over their flocks. These were not church folk, right? These were people who, because of their work, were not kosher. They were not pure. They were not even welcomed to come to the temple. In fact, you could see them coming a mile away. Shepherds were not known for their hygiene. They would have had a hard time worshiping at the temple because they were unclean in many, many ways. Let's say, number two, they had dirty fingernails. Dirty fingernails. When you spend time with sheep, you begin to smell like sheep. And remember, we're talking before Old Spice was invented, right? The only old spices they had were frankincense and myrrh, and those were way out of reach for someone like a shepherd, financially speaking. So they weren't Old Spice, they were no spice. And so because of their smelly clothing and their dirty fingernails and the work that they did, shepherds were not respected on the streets of the town. But God sent His messengers to grassroots shepherds with dirty fingernails. These are the type of people that Jesus came to save. Also, Scripture tells us there in verse 8 that they were living out in their fields, keeping watch over their flocks, and it was night. It was dark. Right. Number three is dark skies. These people were living at this time in darkness. John tells us in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 about Jesus. It says, "In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So shepherds were comfortable in the darkness. This is where they lived. Their eyes were accustomed to it. They were able to see shadows moving around in the dark, and they knew when a threat when they saw one. And they lived in the midst of the darkness. They lived in the real world, you might say. And I know many of you live in the real world too. I know that many of you go to work at places where there is darkness. I know that many of you experience situations where there is darkness. I know that you have televisions in your home, and that sometimes you turn them on and what you hear there has nothing whatsoever to do with the light of the world. We live in darkness. And one of the reasons that Jesus came was to shine his light of righteousness and holiness and glory in dark places, and that this dark world might have light. So shepherds represent that, right? They are accustomed to the dark, but they are perfect recipients for the gift of God's glory, the gift of light. Also in the passage, it says that when these angels appeared to them, verse 9, the glory of the Lord shone around them, broke the darkness. It says that they were terrified. Of course, I like the old version, that they were sore afraid. They were filled with wonder and amazement and fear at what they were seeing. See, shepherds do not try to stand up to angels. That's not the type of people the shepherds are. Shepherds are filled with fear. They recognize their lowly condition. And in that lowly condition, they fall silent. They humble themselves before God. They are scared, speechless. Number four, they have humble hearts. These are the type of people that Jesus has come to reach, those of humble heart. Like shepherds, it is the humble that Jesus came to save. And the proud have a hard time surrendering themselves to the truth. But not those who have humble hearts. They know their condition. They know their need. And they are ready at the drop of a hat to fall to their knees and to surrender themselves if they find someone who is able to meet their needs like Jesus is. Verse number 15, what happens once these angels leave? We won't look at the angelic announcement right here, but we'll look at the response of the shepherds upon hearing what the angels had to say. It says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's roll, right? Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Number five is faithful feet. These shepherds take no time to think things over. They don't procrastinate. They get the invitation and they respond. Let's see this thing. And they leave their sheep behind and they go to the place where the angels had told them about, the place where Jesus lay. And there they saw exactly what the angels had been talking about. They knew that the angels were telling the truth. They see a baby in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. They see a plain young woman wrapping her arms around the child. No trumpet playing, no red carpets, just a quiet scene in Bethlehem. Yet unmistakably for them, this is what the angels had told them they would find. And they know that that little baby is the Son of God. That little baby is the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Eternal One. And they drop to their knees. What a privilege to see with your own eyes the God of creation wrapped in swaddling clothes. Beautiful. And so faithfully they heard the message and they went to Bethlehem and they saw exactly what the angels had told them. But it doesn't stop there. Because verse 17 says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Amazed? I'm sure some of them were skeptical. Some of them said, you know, you shepherds, you've been hitting the liquid refreshment a little bit too often there in the hills of Bethlehem. I'm sure some people didn't believe them, but some were just simply amazed. Number six is they are storytellers, these shepherds. I'm sure they're good at telling stories anyway. What do you do when you're out in the pastures with your buddies around the fire just watching sheep? you tell stories. And so they're accustomed to telling stories. But these shepherds were so impressed and impacted by what they saw that when they left the manger scene, they went and they told who? I think just anyone and everyone. You're not going to believe what we just saw. You know, you go into Dunkin' Donuts to get a coffee or Starbucks, guess what I saw? Guess what I saw? You know, you see your friend at work the next day, you're not going to believe what I saw yesterday. You see your family around the Christmas table, you're not going to believe this. I know, and I saw with my own eyes the Son of God. And they shared the story with everyone they could find. They couldn't keep it in. The whole experience, the whole story, from the angels to the baby, they told the whole story. And these shepherds were the first human evangelists. An evangelist is simply a person who tells the good news. Right? The angels were evangelists, but they told the good news to the shepherds, and they were from heaven. But the shepherds then took that story, and they went and they told everyone that they saw. Jesus meant that much to them, that they were courageous enough to share the truth about what they had seen, and they spoke up. So I wonder sometimes, why do we keep quiet? Imagine if the shepherds had kept it themselves. Imagine if they had seen this thing that the angels had told them about. You know, they saw angels in the skies, and they saw Jesus in the manger, and then they just kind of looked at each other and said, that's cool, that's great. That warms my heart. Amen. I feel so good for having experienced Jesus. And what if, having experienced Jesus, they just went back to their flocks and never told a soul? Just sat on it, enjoyed it. You know, it's a personal thing. Your religion is a private thing. You really shouldn't risk telling anybody about it. Not these shepherds. They spoke up. They were impressed and impacted by Jesus, and so they told the story. And maybe if we don't tell the story, the problem is we're not impressed. We're not impacted. Maybe if we're not willing to tell others, then Jesus really hasn't made much of a difference in our lives if we're not courageous enough to step out and tell somebody about what Jesus has done for us. If we're not talking about Him, have we really met Him? Verse 20 tells us that they returned. The shepherds returned. But they didn't just return to their sheep. It says they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Number 7, they were glory givers. God showed them His glory, and they gave it right back to Him. Watching sheep took on a whole new meaning for these shepherds. So, They didn't go into full-time Christian ministry. They didn't start a shepherd band and travel the area around Israel. They didn't become preachers, but they went back to their sheep. They returned to their sheep. They returned to that same way of life, except now that same way of life will never be the same because they had been changed by what they had seen. And so they went back glorifying and praising God. Their heart, their mouth was full of praise for who God is. They lifted Him up. Here's a little secret you should know about. God doesn't need any lifting up. God does not need any lifting up. He is as high and lifted up as anyone can get. He is at the extreme top. There is no higher that God can possibly go. He does not need to be lifted up. But, believer in Jesus Christ, you need to lift Him up in your heart. He doesn't need to be lifted up, but you need to be a lifter up of God. You need to be one who glorifies and praises God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, so other people will know who He is and what He means to you. There's some great verses in Scripture about this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Whatever it is you do, whether you are tending sheep or whatever it is that you do, wherever it is that you return tomorrow, whether that's to school or to work, wherever you go, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10:31. says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so, you know, you might ask the question, well, how do you watch sheep to the glory of God? How do you do that? Well, you can do just about any work to the glory of God if you put your whole heart, soul, strength, and mind into it. And you recognize that what you do is a reflection of your faith in Him. And you recognize that when you work, that other people see that work and they can see the glory of God in it, that you be the person that God has made you to be. Because we're not just human beings, we're also human doings. And we're doing all day long. We're doing this and that and the other thing, especially this time of the year. We are all crazy busy. But take some time to think about, are you doing what you do to the glory of God, praising His name in the midst of it all? It's sad if we're just going through our lives dragging our feet with pained expressions on our faces, just wanting to get through this difficult life that we lead. Because that's not the way we were created. And that's not why Jesus came. Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundant. And that means in eternity, but that means here and now. And so I pray that as we go through our day, that there's a smile on our face, that there's a little bit of energy and pep in our step, because we are doing what we do for the Creator of the universe. It's not about me. It's not about a paycheck. It's because I want to glorify Him, and I want through whatever it is that I do in my work for God to be known and for others to see that I am a child of God, that He is my Lord and Savior, and that whatever you do, may it be done for Him. And so these shepherds returned to the fields, but they did so glorifying and praising God. They became glory givers. And I'm sure people got sick of it after a while. Oh no, you're going to tell us about that baby Jesus again. I just know you are. Oh, here he goes again with the baby Jesus story. But imagine the mark that that would leave on your life. There's lots of questions I have about the shepherds. Like, what happened to them after this? Did they ever see Jesus again? And did they go looking for him? Did they follow his career? What did they know about Jesus after this? Did they know that he was the Lamb of God who had come to take away the sins of the world? Did they understand the theology behind what they had just seen? Did they get it? Did they know that he would eventually give his life for them on the cross? Did they understand any of that? We don't know. It's a simple story. All we know about these shepherds is that they met Jesus and their life was never the same. And shepherds are the type of people that are open and responsive to Jesus. They are his target audience. So I would say for you and I that we should look in our lives to be a little bit more like shepherds, to humble ourselves. Even though we live in darkness, to look for the light of the world. That in our daily work where we get dirty, maybe a little smelly, in our lives where we complain sometimes that we're just average and we don't have it like the rich guys, the upper 1%, in these average lives that we live, may our hearts be humble enough that when we experience Jesus, when we are faithful enough to go and to see and to experience Jesus, that we become storytellers and glory givers like the world has never seen. I pray that's our story, not just the shepherd's story this Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, O Lord, for the truth that you have given to us, even through the lives of shepherds. And Lord, we are thankful today for the love that you have shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ, that baby who came in the manger, who lived a perfect life in this world, who ministered to those around him, who did miracles, gave parables, told stories, who taught the truth that comes from you, and then eventually gave his life on the cross in our place and rose again from the dead. We are thankful that same Savior is seated at your right hand, and at the right moment will return for his saints. Lord, I pray that our heart and our soul would be in this. Father, that not only would we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we would each and every day have opportunity to tell the story and to give glory and praise through the work that we do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.